All right. Good morning and welcome to day two. Thanks for joining us. My name is Adam Armitz. I'm a program manager on the SharePoint team. We have a special guest with us at the SharePoint conference today, Alphonse. Let him introduce himself.
Good morning. I'm Alphonse Derrick, and I'm a program manager on the Exchange team. So,
cool.
Sneaking into the SharePoint conference.
So I don't want to tempt fate. But I will say good news, we think we have all the networking issues figured out, so knock on wood. When we did dry runs this morning, everything was going pretty snappy, so we no longer can blame the network, we think. But you know, first day, our first session of the day, we like to sort of get going real quick. We figured we would start with a demo. The site mailbox feature and overall the ECM strategy for Teams, I think, is best shown through a very quick, influential demo, and then we'll take a step back and talk about the rest of the agenda. But we thought it would be fun to get started with a demo. So, Alphonse, why don't you take it away?
Okay, let's do it. So, the demo actually is something that happened to me or to us about 3 weeks ago. Basically, I was working in my Outlook, as I do most of the day, every day, and I received that email from Adam. And Adam told me that, hey, look, there's only 2 weeks until SharePoint conference. Maybe we should get started on our deck. So what do I do from there? The traditional way of doing that at Microsoft, I have to admit, is we would send attachments back and forth. And then new people would join the team and would help us work on content. And we would have to catch them up, and we would have to keep everything in sync. And it's usually a nightmare. We get it done, but it's often a nightmare. So with site mailboxes and the SharePoint integration, there's actually a better way of doing that. So let's just look at how we did that. Here's the email from Adam telling me that SharePoint conference is up. So now I know I need to have a space where we can store presentation and supplemental documents. And I also know that we will have a lot of discussions and new people will join the team. And I want to make sure that I also can capture those discussions in some place so that as new people join, they can just go there. I don't have to forward them stuff. They just go there and find everything that's important. So from within Outlook, right in my email triage experience, I just go to my mailbox, right-click it, and say, create a site mailbox. When I do that, I actually open a SharePoint page, and that's the self-service provisioning page for SharePoint sites. That's the way I've configured it for this demo. And I just enter the name of the site that I want to have. Let's say SharePoint Conference 2012. My site collection happens to have policies, so I pick one that I think makes most sense. It's a business project. And I say create. And now that's pretty much everything I need to do as an end user in terms of inputs to get the site created from Outlook. Let's see how it's doing, whether it's already showing up in my sites. Yep, here it is, SharePoint Conference 2012. So I was in Outlook. I now have a SharePoint site. The next thing I want to do is I want to make sure that Adam also has access to the site. So I just add Adam. Whoopsie. Just add Adam to the site. And maybe also Andrew, because he usually has been pulled in to work like that. I share the site. And with that, Adam and, oh, let's try again. There you go. Sometimes you have to click twice. With that, Adam now has access to the site. He's invited to the site. And the last thing I want to do before we get started is I have a SharePoint site, but I don't have a space yet where shared emails can be stored. So I want to install the Site Mailbox app, and that's new with the new SharePoint. It's an app that basically integrates SharePoint and Exchange and provides a shared store for emails from SharePoint. So I add the app, and I click on it once to get it to start the provisioning process. What's happening now is the Site Mailbox app will now talk to the Exchange server and actually create a shared mailbox on Exchange, a mailbox that has its own email alias, a mailbox that gives everybody who is in the SharePoint member list access to the mailbox. Everybody who is in the owner list will have access to the mailbox. And we can all share and work on emails together. So we're actually done. Like, that's all I needed to do to, from Outlook, create a SharePoint site and also provision as an end user a site mailbox, a shared mailbox for that site, where we can now collaborate and work on stuff together. And you see it already shows here in the navigation for the SharePoint site. But let's turn to Adam for a moment and let's look what the experience looks for him as he was invited to that site and to the site mailbox.
Sure, so I would go back to my own desktop. I'll go ahead and launch Outlook. and it'll load. And what we're looking for here is actually, like, because we added me as a member to the site, that's going to be federated and shared with Exchange, and we'll see access to the site mailbox was here in my Outlook as well. While we're sort of waiting for that to go in, we can talk about a couple of the other features of the site mailbox and the site in general. I should be getting a mail letting me know the site mailbox was created, as well as the site that I've been invited to. And what we'll go into more detail in a little bit about the concepts of site mailboxes, but we're going to be looking for, and it provides both a place to share email as a place to sort of expose and see the SharePoint data inside Outlook. So we'll give it one more second to try to go and get the list of site mailboxes and refresh that. If not, we have one we can use that's already created. Let's go ahead and do that. So generally, these things can show within seconds. It is a little variable between a couple seconds and a couple minutes. Rather than having people wait for the quick short demo, we'll use one we created this morning. So this is a site mailbox, where you can see the inbox and documents here. So, you know, obviously, I want to start collaborating. I have a deck template on my desktop that I want to start using. So go ahead and just drag and drop that in from Outlook. You can see it's in italics, meaning it's in the middle of being uploaded. And it's currently in the middle of connecting and uploading that document.
And it's maybe interesting to explain what's actually happening here, because that's, like, from a technology point of view, it's a very interesting flow, actually. What Adam was doing is he had a document, he dragged and dropped it into Outlook. Outlook now sent that document to Exchange. And as soon as it reaches Exchange, we lock that document. Exchange will turn around, publish the document to SharePoint, and once that's committed, it will return the URL to that document. So from that point on, the document content itself is not stored in Exchange or in Outlook anymore. By that, we make sure that all documents, like the one version of the truth, is in SharePoint, and all we provide through Outlook and Exchange is a reference to that document. So if I double-click that document, and Adam can show that, I actually open it from the SharePoint side.
Yeah, you can see it was italics for a while. That means it's in the middle of uploading. As soon as it's no longer italics, I can double-click and open it, and it's opening it directly from the SharePoint server, which means things like the power of co-authoring are totally in play. And so we'll show that right now. I'm in the middle of sort of editing and working on this deck, and let's go back to Alphonse and see his experience.
Okay, let's switch back to my laptop. Here again is the SharePoint site. Let's just refresh it for a moment. Oh. Let me actually go to the one that Adam was working on. Sorry, my bad. So here's the document he just uploaded a few seconds ago. I can open that document easily in the PowerPoint web app, and I can also edit it right here in the web app. And what you're seeing right now is actually Adam and I working on the same document together at the same time.
You can see it's notified that I'm editing the presentation. And so it's actually worth sort of taking a time out here, because it's easy to get lost in the flows, and really see what's going on. We have multiple people editing the same document. Some people, one person from the web, one person from the client. They access it through radically different ways. I accessed it through Outlook. Alphonse accessed it through the SharePoint site. We could have had somebody who had shared it in Yammer access it that way. Another person that was offline using SkyDrive Pro, and then connected online and have the edits come back in. And so really, when we talk about ECM strategy, we'll obviously talk a lot about doc sets and doc ID and fill out RFPs of features, but this demo right here demonstrates really Microsoft's core ECM strategy here, which is Microsoft, we're just going to keep removing wall after wall after wall from people getting work done, and also make sure that there's one version of the truth that everybody is working against, which helps obviously for compliance as well as for the end user to get their job done. So we thought we'd start with that demo. Just to give you a taste, we're going to take a step back, add some context, look at architecture. But we figured that was a good way to start. Oop, let's go back to that. One more. I think we have to wait. There we go. So the flow of the talk today will be to take a step back and take a look at context. I'll talk about ECM. Actually, out of curiosity here, how many people attended Jim Mason and Tejas Mehta's talk on ECM overview yesterday? Good number, but not everybody. Good to know. And then we're going to talk about, I think to understand site mailboxes best, we have to understand how it fits in the larger picture of team collaboration. So I'll give a demo of what's new in a team site. It'll be a reminder of a little bit of things from the keynote and the thing yesterday. I'll try to hit on some new stuff so it's not completely a review. And then Alphonse will take us in depth with site mailboxes. We're going to talk about that architecture. We want you leaving this room knowing the flow of the documents and what's stored in Exchange and what's stored in SharePoint and be able to advise people on the best way to use in site mailboxes. And then we're going to talk about the life cycle of these things. I know some people are probably concerned that we're introducing new concepts shared across product. And if we didn't think about it, what additional management headaches are we creating for these concepts? And I think we have some solutions for that that we'll take a look at. And we'll end on some tips if you want to get started. So during the keynote yesterday, I wonder if he or she is here, somebody tweeted that site mailboxes is the baby that's a product of the marriage between Exchange and SharePoint. Any chance that the person who did that is here? Okay. Well, they're famous nonetheless. And it is really worth pointing out that actually, I don't know if I would have phrased it that way myself personally, but I actually think it's pretty pithy. And it is an important point in strategy going forward. I think this is you'll see more and more as time goes by, more suite-wide scenarios. Leveraging the best of Exchange and the best of SharePoint to come together to break down those walls like I was talking about a couple minutes ago. I think the thing that exemplifies it the best is the suite nav up top that you will see in any Office 365 site where you can access your mail, your calendar, your people, your social content, your personal docs, as well as your shared spaces. And it's just bringing all of these things together seamlessly without any people realizing the transferring between different technologies is really an incredibly powerful feature and an incredible advantage that the Microsoft ecosystem can have. So within that, a quick review of what Tejas and Jim were talking about yesterday for ECM. When we talk about ECM, you know, we talk about the ability to create, the ability to provide the right control and context, and the ability to protect. We won't go too much further into the strategy of ECM, but the one thing I do want to sort of point out is as we look at ECM, we look at the spectrum of different places that exist in the enterprise. Today's talk will focus on the middle one, not too surprisingly, it's in the name of the talk. But on one hand, we have the personal space, SkyDrive Pro, things that used to be called MySites, and that's where there's certainly a place for ECM. We think that there's an advantage and a proness to the SkyDrive Pro of being able to do policy and containment of the and control of personal spaces. And then on the other side, there's the organizational spaces, the corporate record centers, knowledge management repositories. In the middle is the team site and the team shared space, including site mailboxes. And that's the focus of the talk today. I think it's worth pointing out and making connections between all three of these types of spaces, because it is a flow between them. And you can see even in the suite nav I showed just a second ago, it's only one click away to get between all these different types of spaces. So with that, I thought I would go back to the demo. And you won't see site mailboxes in this demo. You'll see what's new in a team site. And I will try to point out stuff you haven't seen before and talk about it in a little more depth. Let's go ahead and switch over. So the scenario we'll be working through here today is an investor relations team that's producing the fiscal year 13 report. And they want to do it a little differently than they have before. And obviously, they need to collaborate with lots of people throughout the company. But they also have a core team of people in investor relations that they're working with. Of course, where else would I go to figure out where I'm going to collaborate or where I have been collaborating than my Sites Hub? So go ahead and refresh this and click on Sites. You can see that this is a place both for you as IT folks to provide corporate resources, the corporate knowledge portal, public website, as well as sites that you're following, sites that the individual user has expressed an interest in. So the scenario starts with this. People have been collaborating on this for a while. We're not going to create one from scratch, just to show you all the what it's like in action. So this fiscal year 13 report's the one that I'm interested in. And you'll see the homepage of a team site filled with interesting data to get people going and collaborating. We're just going to take a tour through each of the major components and the quick launch on the side. First, you'll notice that we've embedded project lightweight project management, which can grow up into project server and more managed projects right to the home page of a team site. So I've activated the project management app and added tasks here. If I want to add one more task, you know, for instance, get CEO approval, we'll add it towards the end. And Alphonse, you can talk to the CEO. Uh-oh. If that works for you. Oops. Oops. There we go. And I can quickly add multiple there, too. And if I want to add it to the timeline, it's as easy as just one click. This timeline up here is JavaScript HTML, no ActiveX, works completely cross-browser. I can go ahead and you know, make it look and make it shine and customize it for exactly what I'm looking for. And so you can see these, you can access a calendar of these tasks. And of course, if, like I mentioned, if you want to upgrade this in the more managed project site, these tasks, if assigned to individuals, will appear in people's shared personal space and eventually get into Outlook if people are interested in that. And so it's a way of making sure people understand that a team site is not just a place to share documents. I sort of think about it as a place of aggregating loosely coupled systems for helping people get work done. Project management being one example of that. We can just sort of go ahead and take a look at the home page again. And you'll notice that there's a variety of other things on the page. Let's look at the shared notebook. By default, we provision a shared OneNote notebook for every new team site. And I won't call it a full-on replacement for the SharePoint Wiki, necessarily, but I actually do think a lot of the things we've used SharePoint Wikis in the past, I think OneNote, shared OneNote notebooks automatically provisioned and added to the Quick Launch are an awesome tool. Obviously, the full power of OneNote, ability to take it offline, ability to work with it in a rich client is there. But of course, right here, I'm still in the web, similar as I would if I was editing a SharePoint page. This particular team uses it to track meeting notes. And of course, I don't lose my context as I'm in this OneNote notebook. I can easily get back to the site. So we've seen project management being influential in a team site. Now we've seen things like note-taking and managing a particular schedule or a particular meeting notes, those types of things. Now let's take a second and look at the Documents tab. Because at the end of the day, SharePoint does need, and team sites need to be best of breed at managing documents as well. So we'll take a look at a couple of the new things here. First, I don't know if enough time has quite been spent on the the callout yet, so I will spend a couple minutes talking about it. It's accessible for every single document in a library. And my view of this is it helps you provide context and to help you decide whether you want to drill in. Is this the document you're actually looking for? And it's a way of having a SharePoint site come alive and not just be a list of documents. You can see a couple pieces of technology on the page. First, all the actions that I'm interested in, editing, sharing it, following it, and a whole list of other actions are available right there. Obviously, you've probably already noticed the WAC preview, where I can get a full, rich drill in into it, who it's shared with, and as well as sharing it with others. You also notice up here is a view count. So we'll talk about this more in some of the search deep dives, because this is actually a call out to search to get the data back. But we're tracking every single click in SharePoint and aggregating it to have total click count on every single document. And we're exposing that data in a variety of places, probably about 5 or 6. But one of the most interesting ones to interact with is on the call out here. So if I'm looking at two PowerPoint decks, one that has 1,000 views and one that has 15, I can try to make a determination of which one's most interesting to me. As a little tidbit, this data is actually stored as a column in the search index as well, which is why which I think makes it extremely more powerful too, because you can do things like impact relevancy algorithms based upon hit count, as well as sort or filter based upon a certain amount of traffic that's getting to a particular document. Pretty powerful stuff. One other thing about the callout too is if you click on an Excel callout, you will get it won't just give you a wall of numbers, but it actually will extract the charts out too. So we sort of thought in detail about what are the data people need to make decisions about whether to drill into these types of content. As I'm looking for the content I need, Jeff demoed this, but just in case you didn't see it, I actually think it's super powerful, cool, and a good statement of how much we focus on the end-to-end experience. I can do a full-text query here, backed by the new search core technology. And it will filter my list down without taking me to search results. And this is a full-text search. You can see legal is in the title of two of these, but not in one of them, because legal is mentioned inside the document itself. And I, of course, can jump off and go to the full-on church experience if I need to. So let's talk about how you get content in. Curious, how many people have seen the drag-and-drop demo once in the keynote? Twice? Three times? All right, so people have seen this one. How many people have seen people do it with their left hand? All right, I wanted to keep it spicy and new, so I will try to actually do drag-and-drop with my left hand. There we go. Spice of life on a Tuesday morning. So you can sort of see easily drag and drop in here. This works cross-browser. No applause for using my left hand?
And left-handed.
Yeah. There we go. This would work in sort of any major modern browser. And as a sort of a quick, easy way, I know we've given this demo a lot, but I actually do think it's a statement of we wanted to focus on a friction-free experience of getting content into the system. And speaking of friction-free, we'll notice that the if I were to refresh this, this team uses this column called VTeam Department to see who's primarily in charge of the content who's primarily in charge of this document to make it to the next flow, right? So these documents I just entered, let's say that they're going to be included in the fiscal report. The investor relations team is done with them, and they want copy editing to go ahead and go ahead and take a look at these documents. And so the new quick edit view is similar to the sort of data sheet view from before, except it supports all types of metadata columns, and it, once again, is not using ActiveX and works cross-browser. And it's a really simple and fluid way of me of editing and getting the content in and getting it tagged appropriately. So I can do copy editing, and I can sort of drag fill here. And you can notice it's committing the changes. And this was, of course, a taxonomy column. And you can see the type ahead, as well as the drop-down of all the interesting the data there. So you know, it's just another way of drag and dropping, quickly going into quick edit and editing the metadata we need, providing people to get going with the ECM system and breaking down walls. So that sort of concludes documents. So to recap what we've seen. We've seen project management, we've seen note-taking, and we've seen documents. Of course, you've probably noticed that the news feed is front and center in a team site as well. And we do have a private news feed just for the members of this team. And it remains to be seen exactly how people will end up using this compared to other ways of communicating. I find personally, and the way that people on the site have found, it's just a good way of quickly sharing data with one another, more serendipitous exploration of the content that they need. So you can see here, I've embedded a YouTube video. I could go ahead and play that right in line. And this was done by just copy-pasting the URL of the document. And we'll sort of call out to YouTube, get the iframe, and embed it right there. This works. I think Jim had some network trouble yesterday, so I will quickly show you this working for a SharePoint content. So if I were to click, get quick access to the document, paste it in here, and you can see it automatically recognizes it as a SharePoint document. And I can say this is ready for review of the team, and post it. And you can quickly get the preview of the document right in there. So it's really quick, friction-free for getting access to the content that you need. So that's a quick tour of what's new in a team space. Go back to the, if you could quickly click back to the PowerPoint deck for me. So to summarize, we've seen project management, social, document management, and OneNote and note-taking all being part of the team experience. And I think that context is important, because when we talk about what Site Mailbox is, you can think about it as filling in a missing puzzle piece to that picture. And so now we'll sort of transition to talk about Site Mailboxes in depth. And that missing puzzle piece, as you probably figured out, is email and communication. So I think the best way of summarizing what a Site Mailbox is it provides email into that chain of experiences that people have in team sites, project management, social. And so that's sort of the problem it solves. And it does so in two different ways. It solves two problems. One, it brings the team site experience to the email UI, namely Outlook. So you have access to your documents and ability to add more documents right from Outlook. And two, you can think of it as a filing cabinet for email related to the project. So Alphonse will show pretty soon, but every project now gets an email address. You can email it. And you can get a full context and history of all the important email communications for that project. I say filing cabinet because I don't think it's a place to triage mail. This won't show up in your inbox, and it's not a place for actively sort of deciding is this important, is this not. But no, it's a filing cabinet for history. Somebody new joins the team 3 months later, add them to the team site, they get the site mailbox right in Outlook, and all of a sudden they can see the context and history of all the email communications that they've had. So that's my pitch and overall summary. Alphonse, why don't you let us go deep into the nitty-gritty of site mailboxes.
Okay, sounds good. So let's look a little bit in more depth at what you can actually do with a site mailbox. And as Adam mentioned, there are really two like big parts to it. One is bringing email into SharePoint and making it part of those tools that you need to work on a project. And then the other one is, I think it's important to understand that it's not about replicating the SharePoint UI or experience or anything like that in Outlook, but making sure that while you're in Outlook, where you spend much of your day, where you're triaging your emails, while you are there, you have quick access to the most important assets of a SharePoint site, which usually is the document library. So let's look at the SharePoint site. This is the fiscal year 13 fiscal report SharePoint site that Adam just showed a few minutes ago. He didn't go into one of the items on Quick Launch, which is Mailbox. So if I click here, I actually now get a overview, a Outlook web access view of all the emails that were shared with that SharePoint site through the site mailbox. So let's give it a sec to load. And I think we're hitting the network a little harder now as everybody is demoing. Let's count down from three, and if it doesn't show, there you go.
You just need to be tough with it.
Yeah, just need to be tough. So here's actually the view from SharePoint, from the SharePoint site, of all the emails that have been shared with that particular site and project. So anyone who comes in later, who's going through the SharePoint site, reads the task list, wants to understand what's going on, has the documents, has the notebook, but also has all the emails right at their hand and can go through it. And that's a full overview. So conversation threading, all the sorting options, reply from right there, all of that is supported. Like you have full OAuth access right from the SharePoint site. Just wanted to show that to make sure that everybody is clear on you get to the emails from the SharePoint site without a problem. For the rest of the presentation, I actually want to focus on what it looks like in Outlook. So here's my Outlook client that I started the demo with earlier. Let me make a little space here by just collapsing my personal inbox. I want to show you two things. First of all, I want to show you how site mailboxes show up in Outlook and how you can manage them. And then in the second piece, I want to show you a few typical actions that end users would do with a site mailbox. So as I'm working on a project, how would I interact with a site mailbox and what can I do with it? But first of all, let's talk about how they show in your Outlook client. So this is your personal mailbox. Everybody knows that. You all have that. And site mailboxes show right here in the Outlook navigation under your personal mailbox. So every site mailbox that you are a member or owner of on the SharePoint site will automatically show up here for you. And you see that, for instance, the SharePoint SPC 2012 site mailboxes we created in the intro demo now shows up in Outlook. It took a little longer today than it usually does, but here it is. And just to reflect on the intro demo, what we actually did is within 4 minutes from Outlook, we got to a SharePoint site that had members and shared emails with it, which is now showing in Outlook for me, Adam, and Andrew. So it was super, super easy for me as an end user to get there. Once I'm there, I can, of course, expand all those site mailboxes, and you will see some familiar structure in all of them. Most importantly, they have an inbox. That's where all the shared emails show up. It is the exact same view which as the one I showed from the SharePoint site through OAuth. You see all the emails. You have access to all the emails. It also has a documents folder. And the documents folder is a representation of the document libraries on the SharePoint site. In our demos, we just have one documents folder. You could have 10 if you wanted, so there's no limit on that, as long as it's a documents library and it's pinned to the Quick Launch menu in the SharePoint site, it will show up here. All the subfolders in that document library will also show up. And there's a question? Good question. Is metadata being synced into a site mailbox? No. What we show here is really just the link to the document and some very, very basic metadata, which is the document size on the SharePoint site, the person who has last changed it, and the date when it was last changed on the SharePoint site, and the document title, of course. So it's very, very lightweight. And it's not meant to take away from all the richness that you can do on the SharePoint site, but it's meant to be a very, very easy way as you triage your Outlook inbox to have access to those documents and to go there. And I will show you some of those scenarios, and then maybe we come back to questions, because we're really focused and optimized on providing the most important actions in a very, very easy way in Outlook. So I got my site mailboxes here. I got my subfolders for the SharePoint site here. And you can also see that some of those documents are showing as read, and some of them are showing as unread. That's my personal view, which is also important. Like, all those documents that are read here are only read for me. Adam would have a different view, which means once I decided that actually I know all those, I can mark them as read, and the counter will now go to zero for me. That means as soon as Adam comes into the SharePoint site, he changes a document, that counter will change again for me. If a document has been changed, it will be marked as unread. So I have a very, very, very easy way of seeing if one of those documents actually changed since I last checked it. Of course, I don't want that to be buried somewhere down, deep down in the navigation and Outlook. So I can also just say, this document library is super important for me, so I want to pin it to my favorites, which means I get the counter right up here. And if I do that for more than one document library, then it will tell me what site mailbox it was in. And of course, I can do the same with the inbox. So it's a very, very easy way for me to keep track of the most important document libraries, the most important inboxes, right from Outlook, right from my favorite pan in Outlook. So let's look a little bit at what I can actually do with a site mailbox as I'm working through my emails. So we saw this email from Adam before, SharePoint conference. We took care of that, so we can delete it. Here's another email. Adam or Andrew kicked off some of the to-dos we need to do for fiscal year 13 planning. Adam already chimed in and said, yeah, I'm going to take this one. I also want to help out a little bit, so why don't I do the dry run? But I want to make sure, as I'm sending that email to everybody who's on the to line, new people will join the team later. So I want to make sure there's also a copy in the site mailbox. So once they come and join the team, they just go there and they get all the information that's relevant for them right in the site mailbox. The easiest way right now to do that is I just CC the site mailbox. By doing that, now everybody gets the email in their inbox, but I also have a copy for reference in my site mailbox and the one version of the truth in there. So I'm done with that too. I'm going to look at this one later. Here's another one from Quentin, which looks interesting. So he sent around a kickoff email. Unfortunately, he only sent it to Adam, who forwarded it to me. Everybody should have that. So why don't I just take that email and drag and drop it into the site mailbox? So it's very easy for me to get rid of emails in my inbox, but still have a place to keep them, and that place is accessible to everybody. And we all look at the same version of the truth. So here's my email from before, and down there is Quentin's email. So I've taken care of that. That looks good. There's another thing in here. This one, yeah, we've taken care of that. Actually, this has an interesting PowerPoint attachment. I don't know about your organizations, but everybody sends around attachments for review. So you send out a document as attachment for review, you get it back, and now you're in versioning hell. How would you ever figure out who changed what and bring that back together? People do it because it's so easy in Outlook. It's just like super easy. You have a document, you attach it to an email, you send it out, you get feedback. I actually want to teach Adam a little lesson here. I take that attachment and I drag and drop it into my documents folder. As you've seen in Adam's demo, that document is now pending upload. So it has been sent from Outlook to Exchange. Exchange now turned around and is talking to SharePoint and trying to publish that document to the SharePoint document library. Once it's committed, it will come back as a bolded item as we've seen before. I don't actually want to wait for that. So let's just take this document, and as I right-click on that document, oh, here it is, so we can actually take it. As I right-click on that document, I now have the forward gesture. And forward doesn't send the document, but it sends a link to the document. So, Adam, here's how you should do it.
Never make that mistake again. Don't worry, Alphonse.
Yeah, actually, we've done that like 6 times in demos before, and he always does it. So
it's because you have the password to my email on this.
Anyway, so you've seen I received an email with an attachment, but it's very, very easy for me to turn around, take that attachment, just drag and drop it into the SharePoint document library, and from there send a link to the team without having to go to a SharePoint site, without having to save it locally first. So we think that will really drive and then change behavior because it's so easy. In one of the earlier demos, somebody gave us the feedback that, hey, look, that's cool. Like, I really like that, but usually I have to share more than one document. So how would you do that? The way you would do that is you just have an email, you select a bunch of documents, just drag and drop them in the email, and here you are. So you really have that end-to-end. SharePoint is integrated in Outlook. If you want to share documents, there's a super easy way, drag and drop them into email, and off you go. There was a question, can you send as side mailbox? By default, that is disabled, but IT could enable it. So by default, we don't, and the reason for that is side mailboxes are designed for teams working together. They are not designed as a help desk scenario where we interact with external customers. And so if I'm working with a team, I actually want to know whether the email came from Adam or not. That's why we disabled it by default, but IT can enable it at any time with no problem. Sorry, I'm not sure I understood. So do links have to be documents?
Well, if the link that goes out in the email.
Yep. So if I move the document to a different spot, will the link be updated? No, it's just a URL. So if that URL changes because you move the document or you change the title, then you will need to resend the link.
I'll take a note.
Feature request noted. Okay, the last thing I want to show here is every now and then there are special emails. Like, this is a special email. It's a copyright agreement. I sort of want to treat that differently. Like, that feels like a record to me. I don't want to just drag it into the inbox of my site mailbox, and then maybe somebody does funny things with it. But I want to actually have it in the document library and be a record. In the past, that hasn't been super straightforward necessarily. Right now, again, all I need to do is I take that email, and now I drag it into the documents library. And not the inbox. And what that does is, again, Outlook now sends the email to Exchange. Exchange turns around and does publish that email into the document library of the SharePoint site. So if we go to the SharePoint site, let's see whether it has already been published here. Here it is. I can now very easily select the email and declare the record. And again, that was a flow, and here it is, it's a record. That was a flow that really just started in my inbox. I took a message, I just dragged it on the documents library, and it was one more click for me to actually turn it into a record on the SharePoint site. Very, very easy, and without me really having to switch context and switch my client. And now that email is actually a MSG file that is stored in the document library on SharePoint. So, Last thing, maybe before we talked a little bit about architecture and what it looks like, is you see that I have a bunch of site mailboxes here. And of course, as you're working on projects, the projects that you care about will change. Some of them will not be relevant for you anymore. Others will come in, and you want to be able to keep that list like short and crisp and just perfect for your needs. the way to do that is we have a very easy way of closing site mailboxes out from your Outlook view. So if you right-click on a site mailbox and you say close, then it will just disappear from your Outlook view. That doesn't mean that the site mailbox was deleted or removed from a SharePoint site or anything. It only means I don't want to see it right now anymore. I can always come in, right-click on my personal mailbox and say manage all site mailboxes and get the view of all the site mailboxes that I'm either a member or owner of and just select any of them and make them show again in Outlook. So it's super, super easy to define at any given day almost which ones I want to see and which ones I want to focus on from Outlook right now. All the site mailboxes that are not pinned, of course, I can always go to the SharePoint site and go to the emails from there. And when I double-click on any of those site mailboxes, I will also get some more details on what this site mailbox is about. So here's the email for the site mailbox, here's the SharePoint site. Those people have access to the site mailbox, and this is when it was last synced and whether that sync was successful. And if I want to, I can even kick off a new sync right from there. And usually a site mailbox syncs, if it's actively used, syncs about every 3 to 5 minutes. So it's pretty fresh. And if you publish something, it will sync immediately. Like all those changes where a user deletes something, publishes something, brings something in, will kick off a sync immediately. There was a question back there?
Yes, is there a way to surface the metadata?
Is there a way to surface the metadata?
No.
So the question is there a way to surface metadata columns in Outlook? Right now, it's not. It's really high on our feature list, and I know that there's one more request for it.
Yeah,
right now, it's not.
We're dealing with this tension. We're not going to be rebuilding SharePoint inside Outlook, too, right? So there is this tension between what experiences to bring in and what not, and I certainly this release is really focused on breaking down walls to getting people have data in collaboration. If you want to see the metadata document, it's one click away to get to the SharePoint site. It's double-click away from opening a document and then seeing the metadata in the client application. But I do hear your feedback, and it's not the first time we've heard it.
So if you have a content type turned on in the SharePoint library, and you drag and drop the email into Outlook into that library from Outlook, it will take that metadata. That's my understanding.
Yeah, well, so if you have multiple content types, it'll accept the default. If you have required metadata, leave it checked out, just like the five other experiences of dragging and dropping. And that's basically the story. This is no different than if you dragged and drop it through WebDAV or dragged and drop it through the browser. And smart defaults can help. And then, of course, it'll leave it in a checked out state if there actually is required metadata.
OK, maybe one more question, and then we should move on. Great question. Do we have duplicate detection? Two answers to that one. If a document already exists and you drag and drop it in from Outlook, we will fail that operation and we will show you an error that the document already exists and you need to publish it from the SharePoint site. And that's because we didn't have good UI in Outlook to let you decide whether you want to save a copy or replace the existing one. So we fail that one. For emails, we actually just keep the duplicates. And since it's a threaded view, you will basically have one line, and then if you would expand that, you would see a bunch of emails there. But if multiple people drag and drop emails into site mailbox, they will create duplicates. One way actually to think about how you get emails into a site mailbox, like with the most reliable or dedupe-free process, is if you have a team and you happen to set up a distribution list for that team because you want to have an easy way to just share emails, just make the site mailbox member of the distribution list, and then you always have a copy there. Nobody needs to file. Everything is captured. That's how we do it. OK, no problem. Let's go back to the slides for a moment, and let's just recap what we just saw and what we talked about and what the architecture is behind that. So one thing that that is really important to call out on that slide is while we provide views that merge the document on SharePoint and the emails in Exchange, both when you're coming from Outlook or you're coming from the SharePoint side, the content is not duplicated. Exchange never holds a copy of any document that's stored on the SharePoint side. And SharePoint never holds a copy of any email that's stored in Exchange. We want to make sure that the content stays in the stores that are optimized for them. But we'll provide views into that content. From SharePoint, we just redirect you to immersive OAuth, Outlook Web Access experience. And from Outlook, we just provide you with those metadata placeholders, basically, that have the URL and some basic metadata for the document. And once you click on them, you will open the document from the SharePoint side. We also want to make sure that you don't have to manage those site mailboxes in two places. So membership is completely controlled from the SharePoint side. If you get added to the member group or the owner group of a SharePoint site, you automatically get added to the member or owner group of a site mailbox, and the site mailbox will automatically show up in your Outlook client. So there are no two management models for membership for site mailboxes. Provisioning can be done by end users, and that was a huge shift for Exchange. A site mailbox is actually the first mailbox ever that can be provisioned by end user, not by IT. So organizations are actually giving a lot of control to end users with that, because now everybody who can provision a SharePoint site, who can create a SharePoint site, also can provision a mailbox in Exchange. And it's actually a great thing, because lots of people have those scenarios, and in the past it was super, super hard to get there, because you always had to go through the bottleneck of IT. But it's also important, and Adam will talk to that in much more detail, that as end users can provision site mailboxes, there has to be an IT story, how IT can manage when those stores actually get deleted again, and lifecycle policy is the answer to that. And same as with provisioning and membership for lifecycle policy, there's only one place where you set it, and that place is SharePoint. So you define a lifecycle policy on SharePoint. A owner picks the policy as he creates a new site, as we've seen in the intro demo, and then that policy applies to the SharePoint site as well as to the site mailbox. There's only one story to how you create them, how you manage membership, and how you delete them. We've also seen in the demo, but I really want to call it out, and I did a few times, but it's a point worth being repeated again and again. I want to call out that anything that Exchange stores is just the pointer to the document on the SharePoint site. We're never ever caching any document content. If you want offline documents for your site mailbox, SkyDrive Pro is the solution for that. You go to the SharePoint site, you just say sync, and you have it in your SkyDrive Pro. So what actually happens when you go to Outlook and when you double click on one of those messages that represent a document is Outlook will now take that URL, hand it over to the right Office application to open that document, let's say PowerPoint. And PowerPoint will now try to open either the document from the local cache, SkyDrive Pro, or if it's not available there, we'll turn around to the SharePoint site and open it from there. So it's completely through the SharePoint site and the document cache. Exchange and Outlook only store links to the documents, and if you want to take them offline, that was a question we actually did get a lot in the past. The easiest way to do that is click on sync, and you have it in SkyDrive Pro, and all your documents are always up to date and available to you offline. So I teased on lifecycle management a little bit. Do you want to go deeper on that?
Yeah, I will go. And just one thing to go back to the previous slide real quick, just to make sure that people understand, here we are talking about, you saw there's an inbox and a documents. This flow applies to the documents. For the inbox, because I heard a question before, that is a mailbox in Exchange, and the emails are stored in Exchange, and that's where you get the best of conversation threading and read, unread, and those types of things. So for the most part, the strategy is keep the email in Exchange and the documents in SharePoint. We saw one example where an email felt more like a document. You're essentially docifying it, and that's obviously a workflow we support. But I actually think by providing the inbox, it sort of is a pressure vent to all this pent-up demand for having email that you sort of want to share with a team. And then it'll be staying in Exchange. It'll have much better management and the best email experience for those things, especially if you want to continue the conversation. Without a doubt, if it's a conversation you want to continue in email, dragging it to the documents library is not the right way to do that. Yep. But let's get the lifecycle. This is ECM in the talk, so we can talk about end user value, and we can talk about how it's used, and of course, at some point in the talk, we need to sort of counterbalance it and talk about how to manage these things. So I don't think this is going to be a shocking slide to anybody. Things are created, used. There's a like, okay, I'm sort of done, but I don't want to delete it right today state, which we'll call closure, and then an actual deletion process. And the couple interesting points about this slide, first, starting with creation. Alphonse showed it in the start of this talk, but we want to make it dramatically simpler to start creating and using these spaces, both an average team site as well as connecting it to a site mailbox and getting it in Outlook. That's why you saw within seconds you could get going to start creating a new team site, and it's just one click to start adding site mailboxes, those types of things. Like it really was an important tenet for us. I think in previous releases we said, it takes 20, 30 seconds to create a site. It's okay, you don't do it very often. Let's focus on making downloading a document 6/10 of a second faster. And we still do that as well, but I think you'll see a change in our user experience thinking that the creation process is an incredibly important part of making a friction-free experience to allow people to get going. Certainly, it's been a change on the Exchange side as well. As we mentioned, this is a mailbox that an end user can create. And then I think it's already pretty clear, but you'll be creating a lot of these and managing and integrating those. You've seen that in terms of the SharePoint Sites Hub managing that centrally, as well as Outlook having a experience for managing the site mailboxes you see. Then the closure and deletion phase. The important thing to take away here is that our strategy and approach for this is to do this on the project level, not on an individual document or an individual email. I'll show you setting a policy for when the entire project, meaning the site mailbox plus the SharePoint site, should be closed and deleted. 6 months after it's created, maybe you have an ability to extend, those types of things. And as far as the coordination between Exchange and SharePoint, it's on the project level. That simplifies things, especially when you're talking about cross-store. Most of the time, these projects are of an atomic unit that it makes sense to manage them as a unit. I anticipate questions on doing this on a per-item level. And since these are SharePoint sites, the documents, you can have content type policy, you can do all the things you would want in the individual sites. Nothing blocking you from doing that. They're just like any other SharePoint site. But as far as the coordination with the site mailbox and managing the email, I really would encourage people. I know it's pushing people a lot in a certain direction, but think about it on the project level. I think that's going to be a lot easier to maintain going forward. I do have one question. Great. How does this integrate with eDiscovery? So you can add the site mailbox or the site as a in the eDiscovery tool. If you went to Quinton session yesterday, you can see the mailbox picker. You can add the site mailbox, or you can type the URL to the SharePoint site. So all of this data can easily be part of the eDiscovery process for the lawyers. Thank you for the softball question. So let's take a second and take a look at configuring the site policy and managing that. So we'll switch back over to my laptop. Would you mind hitting the button for me?
There you go.
Where are we? Okay. So I'm not going to bother demoing the creation of a new site because I think we already saw it. But I will sort of show you the first workflow, which is basically it's from the Sites Hub. You click New Site. And it's worth pointing out, as Alphonse showed before, there is a drop-down of policies here. You know, business projects versus temporary work versus high business impact. And this is completely defined by you. You should decide what policies you want. There's no out-of-the-box ones. And it is a conversation you need to have about the types. I actually think three of them work pretty well. One, temp work. Like, really, we want these things to be so easy to create that if you have a two-day project, you should create and use one. And then we should get rid of it if you don't need it anymore. And then there's probably some generic, I have a project. Everybody knows these things last for a little bit. And then high business impact ones probably have near the same schedule as the business projects. Maybe they last forever. But it's a tag on a site that you can use when building an app or building something custom to do something special with these types of sites. See, it's a generic categorization of the sites. Even though out of the box, the action you can take on this categorization is closure and deletion. So this is the end user experience people are going to experience. You can go to tenant admin in Office 365 and say, hey, you are required to choose one of these. Don't show this at all. Or you know, choose one if you'd like, basically. Make it an optional. And you can set a default. And so that's the end user experience here. I think, I don't forget if we mentioned it before, but it is worth pointing out, if you want, this page can be replaced with your own custom form, such that the new site experience, if you don't like the default, or for instance, if you're a law firm and site creation is actually done on the back end as you get a new client and you want to automatically create the site or anything like that, there's some options there for that. But let's show you how you populate this dropdown. So if I were to go into any one of the sites where basically you're looking for the site collection where self-service web provisioning is occurring, I can go to site settings, top level, look for the one I want, site policies is there, and you can see this is the settings page where you're a gallery of the three options that you are then see going to be shown to the end user. Let's go ahead and look into one of them, such as the Contoso business projects. And you can see there's about the average number of checkboxes, radials, and entry box that you would expect on a site settings page in SharePoint. And so the options here, you know, basically there's no policy on this. Never delete these things. Ostensibly, maybe these are really high business impact. Delete automatically. It's just simple, like, don't bother with this interstitial, maybe you don't need this anymore stage, or then the close and delete, which will probably be most common, where you sort of define a schedule. You know, after a year, try to close it. Maybe after 6 months after that, sort of manage the change management, and then go ahead and delete it. And various options and checkboxes for managing how you're going to notify the site owners, sending emails, and when you send follow-up mails. And then this last checkbox down here, owners can postpone imminent deletion. So if this is checked, it's basically allowing this site mailbox and SharePoint site to be used forever. It's just every 6 months or every year or every 10 years, if that's what you wanted, somebody has to come back and say, yes, I'm still using this, in which case the deletion process won't happen. So those are the options to dial up and down how much control you want over how long these things are created. This is done during the site mailbox talk. And of course, I think it's as implied. But as the project is deleted or the site is deleted, we will get rid of the site mailbox as well. You don't have to use this with site mailbox feature. If the site mailbox app isn't activated, there is no site mailbox to delete. You can use this as a generic way of managing webs or site collections. So that is the that's site policy in a nutshell. Let's go back and talk about, let me go into a little more detail with something I was talking about a couple seconds ago, which is ways of creating a site mailbox. I think we've talked about most of these. But it's important enough, because I mentioned how critical the creation process is and how much we want to focus our experience passion on it, that we can talk about all the ways of creating these things. So you've seen out of the box from a SharePoint site. You create a new site. There's an app in the Getting Started tile. You can click. And then anybody who actually clicks on the mailbox for the first time will start the provisioning process. Pretty common flow. Probably the flow you want to use to explain what's going on to users. And as Alphonse demonstrated early, you can add a link in Outlook such that you sort of are redirecting to that creation page. And that's a way of creating these sites or projects right from Outlook. Obviously, for a lot of you probably have end users that live and breathe and die from within Outlook, and that's a good way of making sure that the experience they use every day, the creation process and provisioning process, can start from within then. And then this last one from within the provisioning system I talked about a couple seconds ago, but just worth reiterating. There's sort of two forms of this here. One is you cannot use SharePoint at all for the creation process. It can be completely done from the line of business system that says, hey, I have a new client. Let me enter their billing code. Let me go start charging them. And oh, by the way, call out to a web service that's going to create the SharePoint site. And if necessary, activate the site mailbox. Every demo we've shown today, somebody manually went and said, hey, I want the site mailbox feature. You can add it to a site template, or you can activate it automatically. There's various ways where, if you want, and you just want to have a one-click, here's the way of collaborating in your enterprise, have that get going without the app creation process. And then, two, there is the custom form approach too, where you still want SharePoint, but you don't think the form that we have is a little too basic. That's basically asking you the name and the site policy, and you want to collect some other data, or you want to do some web service call once it's created. That's another way of creating it as well. So that's the tour of life cycle of a site. The key takeaways, we really focus on making it super easy to create these. And two, we have joint Exchange and SharePoint management of these objects on the project level, not necessarily on the individual item level. So looks like we're going to be ending, yeah, just about on time. I'll do a couple minutes, then we'll have a good 15 minutes for questions. So the last thing we want to sort of talk about is how you get started with site mailboxes. By far, the easiest experience is Office 365. Super excited to have a joint suite-wide cloud service. It makes configuring and setting up joint Exchange and SharePoint features super easy for you, because we're handling all that complexity ourselves. There's been many meetings about how the data center should talk to one another and get that all going. And it's a joy as an engineer to be able to work on that experience such that it is super easy to you. If you wanted to, within an hour, after this talk, you could go get an Office 365, you go to office.com/preview, get an Office 365 demo account. It comes with Exchange, SharePoint, and Link, and you could have one of these things by the end of the day, right? And then if you're on-prem, this feature is fully available as well. There's obviously some config to do to get SharePoint and Exchange talking to one another in a secure manner. We'll be publishing a white paper. Is it already published? Do you know?
It's already published on TechNet. And I don't know, did any of you try site mailboxes in beta 2? Anyone? Okay.
A couple hands.
The ones who actually raised their hand, brave guys. It was really hard to get it set up in beta 2. It's super easy now that we released. We will have a script that you run on the SharePoint side. We have a script that you run on the Exchange side, and you're done. Like, it's no more a five-page description on how you actually have to do it. And there's a technical article describing in detail what you need to provide in terms of parameters for that script.
Yeah, perfect. And then I also will point out that there's a talk Thursday morning on basically OAuth and server-to-server communication at this conference. Sesh is the guy doing it. If you're at all interested in geeking out on how our engineering practices evolve such that we could unlock these SharePoint and Exchange scenarios, namely site mailboxes as well as e-discovery, that would be an awesome session to go to get really into the details of that. Alphonse, do you mind walking us through sort of the hybrid and upgrade? And
sure. Basically, the last part of that slide explains the different phases you can roll out site mailboxes. The initial thing you need to do to get going with site mailboxes is you have to have a SharePoint farm that is on 2013, and you have to have a Exchange deployment on 2013. That's because only 2013 will support that OAuth connection between the two. So you have to have at least one farm SharePoint 2013, at least one Exchange deployment 2013. Now you can start deploying site mailboxes on that Exchange 2013 topology. It will talk to the SharePoint farm, and from any site that's in the 2013 SharePoint farm, you can now create site mailboxes, just the way we showed it. If your users are still on Exchange 2010 or older versions, they will not get the Outlook experience, but they will already be able to send emails to the site mailbox, obviously. They will already be able to go to the SharePoint site and through the SharePoint site see all the shared emails, but they won't get the Outlook experience. For them, in order to get the Outlook experience, their personal mailbox also needs to be on Exchange 2013, and they have to use Outlook 2013. So basically, you can roll it out in a two-phased approach. Phase one is you provide those shared stores to your users. They might not have the complete end-user experience from Outlook. And then phase two, as you move user mailboxes to 2013, and as you roll out the Outlook client, they will get that full experience such that they can work with site mailboxes from the Outlook client. So that's how you would phase roll out. Then Adam mentioned hybrid. There are actually only two things that are important to know. Hybrid is not supported as service or hybrid, so you cannot use a on-premises SharePoint deployment and connect it to a in-the-cloud Exchange deployment and have site mailboxes between the two. Both can be on-premise, both can be on the cloud, And users can be wherever they want. Like, we don't care. Users are fully supported cross-premise. But the SharePoint server and the Exchange server need to be on the same premises, mainly for two reasons. First of all, OAuth connection only works in the same premise. So, like, that's kind of a deal breaker anyway. And even if we could make that work, then you would have potentially a lot of traffic over slow network connections as we traverse from Exchange in the data center to SharePoint on premises or the other way around. And we don't want to do that. So servers have to be on the same premise. Users can be wherever they want.
Great. So I think we'll wrap up now. Thank you all. And we'll take a couple questions for the next 10 minutes at the mics. If you wouldn't mind coming up to the mics, I think that would be better to manage, and it's also being recorded. And before we take the questions, just please, as with everything, our bosses treat the feedback you give incredibly important. We also got pretty good feedback at the Exchange conference where Alphonse and I presented, and so I'd like to show him up and have even better feedback at the SharePoint conference. So please go ahead and submit that, and all fives would be nice so we can show that SharePoint really loves site mailboxes just as much as Exchange does. But we'll start with questions. Looks like we got, well, at least, go ahead.
Is it on?
Yeah. Yep.
You guys are going to have a ton of fun. This is great and a really great start. I liked your example, or could you tell me the use case? If you've got perhaps hundreds or thousands of clients that have team sites, probably not realistic to have a list in Outlook of that many. Do you have any search capability or thoughts around the use case of how you would get random emails that come and start depositing them directly into those team sites?
That's a good question. So I think there are two things to it. First of all, if I'm working on, let's say, 50, 60, 70 projects at the same time, I think the majority of those projects, I would just go to the SharePoint site and check the emails from there. Out of those, there are probably at any given time 5, 6, 7 that I really care about, and those I would have in my Outlook client. And as I don't care that much about them anymore, I would just close them out. And there's actually an important thing to know also. In Outlook, just for UI purpose, UX purpose, basically for being able to navigate in the navigation pane, we will limit the number of site mailboxes you can pin at any given time to 10. So basically, I would have 10 there. Then once I'm done with one, I just like close it. And the next one that I would be added would pop up again. So that's how I'm managing that.
Yeah, and so you can still CC all those mailboxes even if they don't appear. And then I know the Exchange did quite a bit of research into the average number of projects people are working on at any one time, and that's sort of what drove some of our decisions.
And the average is 4 to 5, typically, for users. So the project typically lasts for 3 to 4 months.
So do I understand correctly, if I get an email in my inbox, the way to get it into any random client site would be to forward it to that site then?
That's one way. You can forward it to the site mailbox. You can, as you reply to the email, just CC the site mailbox. Or if you have it in Outlook, then you would drag and drop it into the site mailbox.
Great. Looks like we have two lines for Mike, so maybe we'll alternate if you guys don't mind.
Are there any talks on SkyDrive Pro? Really interested in the offline version of this, so you know users can go through documents when they're on the airplane or whatever else, when they don't have connection to the internet.
Yeah, I mean, there is a talk on SkyDrive Pro. I think Gaurav has given it. I mean, just really quick, to be clear, from the end user perspective, this is what I go off script. I guess it doesn't like me. One more time. Let's go to my SkyDrive. Okay.
You actually have a view, I think, on that computer.
Sure. I was going to show, if you go to any site, there's a sync button right here. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get it offline. I think we've actually taken these offline. Oh, no, we haven't. Sorry, now I'm going off script. I would go to that session. You can go to Ask the Experts. Yeah. But the sync button is all you need to do, and then it sort of takes care of it. And there's various UI nudges, too, that we've added, because we install sort of an icon in the taskbar that'll say, hey, looks like something you might want to take offline. Do you want to do that? So,
okay.
Do you have it up there?
Yeah, you can the sync button right there is the way to get going. This side?
Are you guys going to have OWA support?
I'm sorry.
Exchange OWA is it going to support site mailboxes?
Outlook
OS web support. Access.
OS support for site mailboxes.
Oh, OS support for site mailboxes. Basically, the story here is web browser. So site mailboxes, you can get there through the web browser.
So you just link them to the SharePoint site.
that's supported on mobile devices.
And what about search? I'm assuming both the site mailboxes would be searchable from SharePoint and through Outlook.
That's a good question, actually. Search is not federated, which means if you search on the SharePoint site, you will search the documents. Once you move to the mailbox view in SharePoint, you will search the emails.
So the emails are not searchable from SharePoint?
They are searchable from the SharePoint UI, but not from the search box that's on your site homepage.
Okay, not in the enterprise search.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a great question. Good feedback. I think it's on our radar. The new search core technology, we decided to focus e-discovery as a sort of hallmark scenario coordinating these two, but I think that's a very, very reasonable piece of feedback. Other side?
I believe you mentioned earlier that if you're in Outlook looking at the site mailbox, you're just one click away from pulling up in a browser the SharePoint site. Could you demo that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where it is exactly that you click to pull up the full site?
Sure, and I actually forgot to demo that, sorry. So you just open your site mailbox, you're in Documents, and you say, open web browser, and that leads you to the SharePoint site.
And it takes you to the general page, not like directly in the document library or a specific view. It'll take you, like you see here, the general overview of the SharePoint page.
You would get to the home page of the SharePoint site.
Thank you.
I guess I lied.
One more quick one, if that's okay. How does it handle large transfers? Let's say I'm retroactively trying to go back through my inbox, and I have certain users that have 100,000 emails that they haven't taken care of in 5 years. And I want them to start moving those onto like in a specific folder site. If they were doing 1,000 or 2,000 emails, how does it handle that? Has it been tested to handle large amounts of data at one time without failing?
Shouldn't be any problem at all. After all, it's just a mailbox.
Okay.
So all the sync technology between Outlook and Exchange that's been worked on for decades almost, everything of that applies. And that. As Exchange talks to SharePoint, it will just take it document by document and just publish it.
So it would be more reliable to do that? Because one of the things I run into now is when I save large amounts of emails to SharePoint, I get a lot of failures. Like if I leave, to say, 2,000 emails saving overnight, there'll be a failure in the morning and I'll have to start over. This would be a more reliable solution, do you think?
Absolutely, because you wouldn't actually save the emails to SharePoint. You would. What you would technically do is within the Outlook cache, you would basically move it from one mailbox to another, and then Outlook would trickle it up to Exchange as fast as it can.
So the email would move out of, say, someone's personal inbox in Exchange, and it would move to a site mailbox in Exchange? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And you can either move or copy, depending on what you want to do.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Probably have time for one or two more questions, then we'll do the whole answer personal questions up here. Why don't we take one on this side?
Are there quotas on the site mailbox? I assume the SharePoint documents count against the SharePoint site collection quota, but where do the emails count against?
Yeah, great question, actually. There are quotas in site mailboxes, and that's one of the things that IT admins can set, like what the quota is, who is actually allowed to provision site mailboxes. By default, everybody is, but you can limit that to like only part of your organization, for instance, and you can set quota just like for any other mailbox, but it's a specific site mailbox quota. So separate from what other mailboxes have. And we actually expect that site mailbox quotas can be pretty small for most organizations because you want to train people to only keep the emails there and take the documents to SharePoint. So whereas in personal mailboxes, you have a lot of attachments that go back and forth. In site mailboxes, you should really not see that.
On this side?
When you move the email into a document library, what type of file name structure are you using when you move that email into the document library? Because if you save a typical email today, Outlook wants to save it with the subject line. And SharePoint typically won't handle some of the special characters in the subject line. So when you move that email to a document library, how are you saving that email?
I don't actually know about the special characters, but what we're doing basically is saving it as an MSG file. So it would be the same behavior as if you saved that email to your local drive, for instance.
So are you looking at the subject line?
Yeah, we're looking at the subject line. And I actually haven't seen any issues with special characters in that. Maybe we should talk offline about
the
specific scenario.
Yeah, I'd love to follow up either now or ask the experts. We should find each other and make sure we're on top of that if it's an issue.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. I think we have one last question, and then we will take questions up here. So,
yeah, I'm really excited about the way you guys are focused on getting a single version of the truth on things as you approach this. I'm trying to understand you have two scenarios, one where you drag the email into a document library like the gentleman was just discussing, and one where you drag it into the site mailbox. In each of those cases, are you leaving the email in the mailbox? Are you leaving a stub of the email in the mailbox? Or can you describe exactly what's happening in that regard?
Absolutely. And that goes basically back to my previous answer. You can move or copy.
The default
action is move, but you can just right-click, drag and drop, and select copy.
But when you copy, you still have the full-blown email rather than some kind of a pointer or something, right?
Right. Then you really create a copy.
Okay. Thank you.
But the default is move, and that's just because it's the default throughout Outlook, and we didn't want to make it different for site mailboxes.
Okay. Thank you.
I think we need to be respectful.
Wow.
And there's the bell.
There you go.
people's time. Thank you. We'll answer questions up here.